good morning, everybody out there. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, with his beautiful husky voice. I am having this sort of sinus issue today, so I'm going to have this very, very deep voice today. Chris is saying that there's some problem here in the stream. I don't think, you know, I think what it is, Chris, I think that what it is that I cannot connect to the new server at the same time as you. I think that's what it is. I just have to wait until your music stops and then log in and do all that. So anyway, so that's how I'll just be doing it in the future. And anyway, it's a beautiful day here in Chicago. It's not very sunny, but it is, in fact, I'm sorry, Chris is interfering here. your show is done, Chris. No, I do have to admit I did have the stream playing, listening to the very end of Chris's show. I missed the beginning of Chris's show, as usual, because I almost always miss the beginning of Chris's show. It's nothing against Chris, of course, because I'll actually go back and listen to the podcast. Usually, you know, it's funny, and I was having a conversation with Mikey about this this past week, is that I don't really listen to podcasts at home. Or radio at home. I just, you know, when I'm at home, I have other things that I need to do or want to do. And it's not my podcast listening time. The time I listen to podcasts normally is at work. And there are, of course, you know, exceptions to that, because there's sometimes when I just don't have anything better to do. And that happens more frequently than I would like it to. And I actually am listening to people live, and if I have time, I even call in. But mostly for me, it's listening to podcasts at home. Or I'm sorry, not at home. Speech, take two. Listening to podcasts at work. That's normally how I do it here. Mikey is asking, is this... is Chris Reardon again? No, it's not Chris Reardon again. This is, in fact, Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And as I was saying, you know, it's a beautiful day out today, but it's not sunny today. It's kind of an overcast day. I don't know if it's going to rain. It's kind of hard to tell. You know, it might not. But it certainly isn't raining as I speak right now. And I just hello to everybody who is out there. And I see that we have Chris and we have Mikey. And it looks like Sean is out there, and hopefully people will call in. People can call in and listen to the show and participate in the conversations today. Boy, I'm just feeling really mixed up today. It's just one of those days. And a special shout out there to Pete, who I know is listening, because Pete is going to be dropping by the studio after the show, and we're going to be spending the day together. Now, the topic for today, and you know, don't feel like you need to weigh in on this topic if you don't really want to, but the topic I wanted to talk about today is political correctness, because I was listening to a podcast this past week, and the host of the show was kind of bragging a little bit about how politically incorrect they were. And I really kind of got to thinking about that. What in what crazy world, you know, is this something to be proud of? Now, I understand, you know, because political correctness is one of those things that some people feel very oppressed by it. And I think that in a lot of cases, people have this very odd idea of what political correctness is. And what's interesting about this is that the person who was talking about this, the person who brought up the subject, is actually, to my mind, a very politically correct person. This is a person who respects people, regardless of who they are, for the most part. So it's interesting to me how this term political correctness has become an insult. Because to me, okay, now I'm not saying that I'm really amiable about political correctness. I think that you can go too far with it. And anyway, this is the topic that I'd like to talk about today. What is your opinion of political correctness? How would you define political correctness even? I think my definition that I would support for political correctness is the idea that you are sensitive to other cultures, to other races, to other religions, and so forth, and that the language that you choose to use be more inclusive rather than stereotypical. The idea, you know, to call somebody, call a Muslim a raghead, you know, that's not just politically incorrect. That's insulting. And the definition of politically correct, I think, has a lot to do with respecting differences in people and not pointing them out, or not to stereotype people. And that's kind of how I think about it. If anybody has any thoughts on that, of course, you can contact the show. You can email the show, tom@tomharrisusa.com, or indeed tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. The email comes to the same place, though I may not get to the email during the show because I always forget to check it. And, of course, you can Skype into the show at United Kingdom Radio. And, of course, there's a phone number as well, and it's 020-3287-1488. That is the phone number of the United Kingdom Radio. If you're in the UK, it's a local London number. It's not a premium rate number, so you can call. Mikey is saying, no, that's not the person who I was talking about. I don't think it's anybody you know, Mikey. But I've heard, you know, I've heard Chris actually say on his show that that he's not politically correct. And I think he's another excellent example, by the way, because I think Chris is so respectful of people, and I would think that if you can actually, you know, place him into the category, I'd say he is definitely politically correct. Because I think that this whole idea of political correctness, of course, you know, is it being used as an insult more often than it's actually being used to describe somebody accurately? And I think that's become the case. Anyhow, would love to hear from people on that. And in the meantime, I do have some features, of course. And so we're going to move on. And today in history, this is Oscar's favorite feature of the show. You know, I don't really care if people, you know, diss the features that I have in my show. You know, of course, we have a lot of people now stealing this feature. I should call Stacy White and actually report a theft. Hello, Stacy, I'd like to report the theft of a feature. People are stealing my Today in History feature. Anyway, today in, incidentally, today is September 18th of 2010. If you are listening at 10:09 a.m. September 18th of 2010, then you are listening live. If you're listening at any other date and time, then you are listening either in the future or in the past. That would be interesting if people would be listening to this in the past. Okay, today in history, September 18th. In 1793, George Washington laid the cornerstone of the United States Capitol building. In 1810, the country of Chile declared its independence from Spain. In 1881, in 1881, the Chicago Tribune reported on a televideo experiment. Now, that's really interesting, because you know, you think about television and you don't think that, you know, that they had it going on back in 1881, because of course it was many years after that we actually started seeing, you know, commercially viable television. In 1891, Harriet Maxwell Converse was the first white woman to become a Native American chief. That's awfully interesting. Mikey is saying, Chris is quite politically incorrect off-air at times if you knew what our phone calls consist of. Oh, yes, I'm familiar with Chris off-air. Yeah, you know, it's funny, yeah, because it's you want to have as family-friendly a show at time, but you know, when you get off the air, I think most people kind of let their guard down a little bit. In 1931, Japan conquered Manchuria and renamed it Manchukuo. That didn't last long. In 1945, 1,000 white students walked out of Indianapolis public schools to protest segregation. In 1947, the United States Air Force was formed. And, you know, of course, the Air Force existed prior to that as part of the Army. They would call it the Army Air Corps, the Army Air Force. In 1965, I'm having trouble reading my own writing here. In 1965, the TV show Get Smart premiered. That's I don't know if they ever showed that. Did they ever show Get Smart over in the UK? That would be interesting to find out if anybody knows that. And in 1970, Jimi Hendrix dies at the age of 27. Famous birthdays today include Greta Garbo, 1905. Robert Blake, the actor, and Roman Polanski, the director, were both born on this date in 1933. In 1949, Kerry Livgren, the lead singer and songwriter of the rock band Kansas. And in 1971, Lance Armstrong. So that is today in history for today. What's really interesting, you know, going back to my topic here for a moment, it's interesting how the sort of our society has changed in its attitudes towards people who are different from us. And one of the best examples I can come up with is that, you know, people of my generation, I think this is really kind of where we started getting some of that, the political correctness in. And when I say political correctness, I don't mean it in the sense of going too far with political correctness, because I think you can go too far with it. For example, I like to use the word history, but, you know, there's people out there who don't like the word history. They would prefer that you use the word herstory. And, you know, it's hard to believe that there are people who actually would get offended over that, but there are. And I think that, you know, when you're talking about political correctness, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to lose your sense of humor entirely and to completely lose your mind, because, of course, there's a lot of that out there. But what's interesting is that, you know, what has become politically unacceptable in our society has changed over the years. Now, back when my grandparents were growing up, now, disclaimer here, my grandparents were born in the very early part of the 20th century. My grandmother was born in 1904. And I think my grandfather was also born in 1904. And what's really interesting, old people get a pass, I think, on political correctness. Isn't it funny? You know, people get to a certain age and you stop worrying about it. And you stop worrying about the things that are coming out of your mouth. And my grandmother came out with some doozies. Now, she was not a racist person. She didn't think of you know, people of other races as being inferior. What was really interesting, it's actually kind of a funny story. I went to my grandmother's church once. And I didn't go to the service, of course. I don't do that. But I went to my grandmother's church to pick her up. We were going to go to dinner after church. And we're sitting there. It's kind of waiting for the, you know, social time to be over. Because, you know, after the church service, I don't know if it's probably this way in most churches, that after the church service, everybody gathers in sort of the common area, the little hall, and they'll have punch and cookies and, you know, kind of socialize. I'm sure it's that way in the UK, too. But certainly it's been every church I've been involved with over the years, it's been that way, and my grandmother's church was no exception. But at this point, my grandmother was probably 96 years old. I mean, she pretty old. And we're sitting around, and we're having our punch and we're our cookies and kind of just chit-chatting with members of the family and so forth. We're sitting around the church. And there are these little children running around everywhere. It's just, it was that kind of a church. You know, you get a lot of younger families in there that were coming in, and my grandmother says, "Isn't that Pekingese cute?" And it's like, what the heck is she talking about? Looking around, I'm looking for a little dog, you know, because a Pekingese is a type of dog. So I'm looking around, and I said, "Grandma, I don't see the Pekingese. Can you where is it?" And then I realized that what she was really saying wasn't Pekingese. What she was saying was Pickaninny. And she was just, you know, not thinking of it because she was, you know, elderly and starting to maybe lose her faculties a bit. And I just wanted to curl up underneath the couch. That's not a term that you're going to hear today in modern society, the term pickaninny. And I wouldn't consider that to be a particularly inflammatory term or insulting term. It's just a term we don't use anymore. And that is the result of more cultural sensitivity in our society, more inclusive language. We don't kind of base our perceptions of different types of people now on stereotypes. And to me, that is sort of what political correctness is. If anybody else has any thoughts, they can certainly call into the show. I need to take a drink here, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play a couple of trails, and I will be right back.
Whether you've had a good day or a bad day, or just has something on your mind, I'm Stacy White from Oklahoma in the United States. Now, live on United Kingdom Radio on Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Come join me and talk about anything and everything. Talk, talk, and more talk, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays on United Kingdom Radio.
On Sunday, at 3 until 5, is the Atticus Stout Show. It is a journey into a world of mystery, intrigue, the occult, and anything that is a bit on the fringe. There will also be the weekly challenge, in which listeners have a chance to perform a series of humiliating tasks. It promises to be a cornucopia of listening pleasure.
And there we go. There's a couple of the presenters here on United Kingdom Radio. We have Stacy, who's on in Sunday. And I think he's also... I'm getting really bad with the schedule because it keeps changing. I don't even know what people... Stacy is on Sunday and Wednesday, I believe. And then Atticus, of course, is on Sunday before Sukkot. All right. So I'm going to talk a little bit... I'm going to do a Tom's Travels a little bit later in the program. And this is actually at the request of one of our listeners who... I promised to do this a few weeks ago. I promised to talk a little bit about my my encounter with Bosnia. I don't really call it a visit to Bosnia, because it really wasn't there for very long. But I'm going to talk about that. And as you folks know, I've been doing, or had been doing, a feature on my podcast called Tom's Travels, where I talk about the various places I've been and sort of my own personal impressions and that sort of thing. And you can look forward to that a little bit later in the program. I did want to talk a little bit about this. This past week, I saw a movie that I hadn't seen for, you know, this is an old movie that I just recently saw. And, the movie is Beowulf. Now, I don't know if anybody out there has actually seen it. It was a few years ago now. And it's an interesting movie. And, you know, of course, a lot of us remember it because we were forced to read Beowulf in high school English class. I know I was forced to read it as part of a British literature class that I took back in high school. But it was interesting is that they did a movie adaptation, and the movie was done in CG, okay? But it wasn't a CG movie in the same sense that Toy Story is, or that, you know, something like Bolt or Alice in Wonderland is. It's a CG in a very different sense. And what it was is a movie done entirely with motion capture. Now, I think it would have been a better movie had they actually done it just in straight CG and not even worried about the whole motion capture thing. But it was really, really interesting. And if anybody has seen this, I'd be interested to hear your take on it, because I thought it was a really, really good experiment in trying to make CG more realistic. And I think at this point, that the technology has actually gone past this movie. You can do much better than that now. But one of the things that really worked for me with this movie was how they were able, through the CG process, to capture facial movements. And I think that was really what they focused a lot of their energy on. Some of the other scenes were a bit dodgy, and there's obviously some scenes of monsters and things, some of which work very, very well. And I think it's a movie that works very, very well a lot of the time. But sometimes you can tell that they were doing the CG, and it's sort of the level of, you know, World of Warcraft. I mean, it's, you know, as awkward as a video game that's 10 years old. So it is interesting to me that this experiment that they tried, it works so well in so many ways, but it works so poorly in so many other ways. And it's kind of a shame because I think that the script deserved better. The script was adapted by Neil Gaiman, who, of course, is one of my favorite comic book writers. And he did a really good job because Beowulf is one of these really kind of dodgy stories. It's one of these very, very old stories, the sort of thing that people would have been telling around the campfire back in, you know, the 9th century. Sort of the predecessor to today's superheroes. It would have been, you know, you wouldn't hear the whole story at once. You'd get, you know, one person telling the story of Beowulf and Grendel, and it would take them, you know, 25 minutes to tell it. And, of course, frightening the heck out of everybody around the fire, because that's what these stories are good for, isn't it? But I thought that they did a really good job of keeping the spirit of the story with the adaptation without some of the clunkiness that you get, because, in the original Beowulf story, it was an episodic story. And, you know, he goes from here, he fights this monster, he goes there, he fights that monster, he goes there and fights that monster, and it's 50 years later. And it doesn't hold together very well, and I think that's typical of stories that are from an oral tradition. But I thought that they did a good job of tying all of the loose ends together and making it kind of a substantial piece of work. They messed with the story a little bit, but not too much. You know how that goes. So anyway, I would definitely check it out. I like I said, a little bit disappointed with some of the animation. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the technology had not yet caught up with the actual, you know, ability to tell the story. And I think that they, you know, it would be interesting if they could redo that now without some of the stuff that didn't work so well. Incidentally, Crispin Glover as Grendel was brilliant. I don't know what it is about Crispin Glover. He's one of those actors that makes you wonder, you know, you look at him and he's all sorts of awesome. And I really, really enjoyed his performance. It maybe isn't the greatest character that he could have played. Grendel is kind of a one-dimensional villain. You know, he's just kind of a big monster. He comes in, he rips people apart, he leaves. That sort of Grendel shtick. Ooh, it's getting quite dark outside. I'm just noticing. I think it's going to rain. Anyway, it's time to move along now. And before we do Tom's Travels, I'm going to go ahead and play my newest feature, Chris Reardon Has Decreed. Live from the Whiskey Glass Studios, it's
Chris Reardon.
Chris Reardon has decreed!
I love it!
So let's cast our minds back many, many years when Chris Reardon decreed this.
Toad in the hole. Try it.
That was Chris Reardon has decreed for this week. Stay tuned to next week when you might hear Chris say something like this.
I sit in the car talking to engineers and things and there's no one in there. I do talk to people in the car who aren't actually there. Do you think I need professional help?
I do, in fact, think that Chris Reardon needs professional help. You know, it's such fun to go back and research this stuff. Go back. You know, I've got 5 years of shows that I can go back and listen to. It's fantastic. Anyway, I love it. All right, so we're going to move on here. Since I'm not getting any calls, we'll move on to Tom's Travels. I got to come up with a theme. I've been trying to think of some sort of musical bit or something, you know, maybe some like the Rick Steves theme or something that, that I can play while doing this stuff. But I want to talk a little bit about Bosnia Herzegovina. And this is on the request of Bob, I don't know, who doesn't seem to be out there today. I don't know. Bob, if you're out there, this is for you. And what's interesting, you know, back in 1999, I went to Slovenia and to Croatia, and I kind of traveled around through that that part of Europe. And that was the really, really interesting, the former Yugoslavia. I really, really enjoyed that. And one of the things about that that part of the world is how gorgeous it is. Now, it's sort of this long coastline of Croatia where you have the Adriatic, and you know, it's all these you know, chalky limestone cliffs, a lot like the White Cliffs of Dover, actually. They look, in a lot of ways, very much like the White Cliffs of Dover. And so we have sorry about that, folks. Bob Adeno says, all film monsters should still be done by Ray Harryhausen. Well, it's good to see that Bob is out there. Ray Harryhausen, you know, didn't he do something more recently? I think he didn't. I think he worked on the new Clash of the Titans, which is, of course, is the CG 3D version of Clash of the Titans that came out this past year. I think Ray Harryhausen did work on that, but he's not doing that same sort of animation anymore. Of course, he's got to be like 88 years old now, doesn't he? He's got to be an old guy now. And I don't know that he's really doing films anymore as such. But you could consider, you know, Harryhausen started way back in the 40s, I think. Certainly by the 50s he was active, but yeah, anyway, going back to talking about Bosnia here, because Bob, I don't know, had requested this. So anyway, I was talking about this whole coastline, this whole Adriatic coastline is gorgeous little towns. There's very, very white buildings. It's white stucco buildings with tile roofs, orange tile usually, and just very picturesque and kind of balmy. And I was going on a bus from Split in Croatia to Dubrovnik, which is also in Croatia. However, when you as you're going down the coast, this Adriatic coast, I didn't realize this before I actually went there, that Croatia isn't all in one piece. There's a little bit of a along it's this Dalmatian coast is what it's called. What the Romans used to call Dalmatia. And there's a little nip of Bosnia that comes down and goes to the coast, all the way to the coast, and splits Croatia in two. And I was on a bus, and we were traveling through to Dubrovnik. And all of a sudden, I find out, oh, did you hear that? There's thunder. Amazing. I hope that that'd be neat if you could hear that. So if my show suddenly cuts off, well, I am having an electrical storm here. Oh, Bob Adeno is telling me Ray Harryhausen is 90. Yeah, I kind of figured he was pretty old now. I'm amazed he's still out there and he's still working. But so we're on this bus, and all of a sudden we come to a border crossing. And I've seen these before, you know, on trains and so forth. And the thing about this was that, you know, there's no train service, at least there wasn't at that time. Because this, when I was there, 1999, was not very long after the war ended. The war, I think, ended in 1996 or 1997. And I'm here only a couple years after the war in Bosnia has ended. And there's no train line at that point going through all the way to Dubrovnik, so I had to take a bus. So we were forced to get off the bus, and I didn't realize at the point that we were getting off at a border crossing. I really wasn't sure about that. And we all had to get off the bus. We had to bring our luggage with us, and we had to open our bag for the guy. We had to have our passports, and you know, and you're kind of used to. We take it kind of for granted now when we're traveling around Europe that you're not going to stop at a border crossing. My first couple stops in Europe, my first couple trips there, 1980, 1988. You still had a lot of these border crossings and people coming down the train to check your passport and all that, going between, you know, France and Germany. And, of course, at that point, if you went into France, you had to have a visa if you were from the U.S., and that was something else that was a little bit different now. I should say, a little bit different than now. Sorry, I'm getting a little sloppy here. So anyway, can you tell that I'm stretching the story out? So anyway, we had to get off the bus. We had to take our luggage with us and have it available for inspection by the border guards. And basically what they did was they herded us into a building, which was a gift shop. I mean, it had a restaurant in it and a gift shop and, you know, souvenirs. It was like a duty-free shop, just kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Now, the name of the town, as I had to research it because I'd kind of forgotten it, the name of the town was called Neum, N-E-U-M. And it was just sort of out in the middle of nowhere. But out the back window, they had this like gift shop, and then they had this like a food court sort of thing. We didn't really have time to eat. They told us we were only going to have like 20 minutes there. It didn't turn out to be that short of a time. We ended up being there for like 45 minutes or something. And they had this like food court area and a little snack bar. And they had this huge picture window, which sort of had this really, really nice view of the coastline. And you could sit there and wait for them to, you know, check your luggage or whatever. And then eventually, you know, they tell you, okay, well, you know, you're free to get back on the bus if you want to go back on the bus, or you can shop in the duty-free store or whatever. And what I did is I actually did kind of wander around the duty-free store, bought a candy bar. Don't remember what kind of candy bar it is, but it was a Bosnian brand and not, you know, something from Croatia or Slovenia. So I can actually say that I've been to Bosnia, even though all I really did there was a, wow, that was a loud one. Can anybody hear that thunder? Is it? I think the microphone doesn't, you know, always pick up these noises, but it's getting kind of loud here. So we were kind of told eventually, okay, yeah, go ahead and get back on the bus, and we continued on our merry way. I think we were in, Bosnia for all of about an hour and a half, including the stop, because it's about a 30-mile stretch of coastline that, you know, separates the two bits of Croatia from each other. And then, of course, then I went down into Dubrovnik, which is something I'll talk about on a future show, a future edition of Tom's Travels. I'll talk a little bit about Dubrovnik. So that was my trip to Bosnia, and that was especially for Fagash Lil, a.k.a. Bob, I don't know, who is out there today. I'm going to go ahead and, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and play another feature that we haven't done for a little bit. Oh, incidentally, we're not doing the music clips anymore. And the reason why is because nobody was actually playing the game. So the music clips for last week's show, the last time we played the game, were... I'm sorry. I'm being distracted a little bit because there is a lot of thunder and lightning going on here at the moment. So I do apologize for that. Oh, Chris is saying that they do hear the thunder. Fantastic. It's funny how this came up really, really suddenly. I'm hoping that it kind of goes away quick because I'd like to get outside today a little bit. Incidentally, I think we're going to go... There's the thunder again. Incidentally, I think we're going to go tomorrow and see another movie, Resident Evil, which has come out, and Pete wants to go see that. So that'll be something interesting to do. Anyway, the musical clips for last week were The Beatles, I Like You Too Much, or You Like Me Too Much, Drive Driven by Yellow, and Locomotive Breath by Jethro Tull. Bob Dono is saying, so getting you off the bus was just a ploy to get you to spend money, and yep, we heard that thunderclap. Yeah, I think that it was a dual purpose. You know, they wanted to check our passports or whatever, but they also wanted us to stop at their little gift shop and spend money. And thankfully, they took euros at the little store. So that was because at that point, I don't remember whether or not I had any Croatian money or not. I kind of remember when I got to Dubrovnik having to go to a bank and cashing a traveler's check. It's the only time I would recommend carrying traveler's checks. I don't carry traveler's checks anymore. It's something that, of course, it used to be very, very common when you were traveling in Europe and you had to change money constantly. So if you're going from the UK, you know, you had to change your pounds into Deutschmarks or francs or wherever it was, guilders. And the euro, when it came in, made things so much easier. And the other thing about about changing money all the time was you'd lose money on every transaction you did. So not only did you have to pay for the traveler's checks, but you had to pay a commission every time you would change money, and you would end up losing so much. It's so much easier today, isn't it? For those of you who have actually traveled through Europe, it's so nice now to have just the one currency to worry about. Then if you go into one of the other places that doesn't use euros, you can still use euros sometimes, even if it's not a euro country. But it really just kind of depends. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the Judge for Yourself for this week. I think I still have two of these, and we'll see if we can get any feedback on these.
Judge for Yourself, the case of corpse confusion. Two patients in a hospital, one Jewish, the other Roman Catholic, died within the same hour. Name tags were placed on the bodies, which were taken away by an undertaker. One body was prepared for an Orthodox Jewish burial. The other was prepared in accordance with the Roman Catholic faith. When the Jewish family viewed the body, they found that the two had accidentally been exchanged. The switch was remedied, but the two families sued the hospital. Did the court rule for or against the hospital?
And that was Judge for Yourself for this week. And, of course, if anybody has any thoughts on that, then they should call in. The Skype address for the show is United Kingdom Radio. Or you can actually call on the telephone, 020-3287-1488. And thanks very much to Scott Mitchell for providing the Judge for Yourself clips. And Scott does his own podcast called Uncommon Sense, which you can hear over at scottpodcast.com. Yeah, I can hear the thunder. I can see that the thunder is coming out over. It's very, I'm kind of a little bit worried now because the thunder is getting closer and louder. So if I do go off the air suddenly, then you know why. It's obviously because of the storm. It's raining quite hard outside now. I can see a little bit of it coming in the window. I'm not going to worry too much about the rain coming in the window, though. So anyway, I'm going to move on. I'm going to do another little bit of Tom's Travels here, if people don't mind. Because, of course, things are awfully quiet. Things have been really quiet, I think, on everybody's show, as far as people calling. And I think a lot of our regular callers have decided that they think that they've been talking too much on our programs. And they think that we don't appreciate it. But anyway, Bob Adeno is saying, I don't care how easy it is for tourists. I want to keep my pounds and not change to euros, even though you can spend them in lots of places in England anyway. Now, I'm just curious, Bob. You're saying you want to keep the pounds and not change to euros. Why is that? Is it out of a sense of tradition that you want to keep it? I know that a lot of the European countries, they change the currency so many times anyway. The Deutschmark was not the same throughout its entire history. So people say, it's just another currency change. It's no big deal. And I think the franc was probably the same way, too. The old francs would get devalued, and then they'd have new francs and all this other stuff. And even the pound changed. And I'm sure that you still get people who are older who still convert things into shillings. I mean, I'm sure that maybe Chris probably remembers, and certainly Paul Edwards would remember, before currency decimalization. And when you had, hay pennies and shillings and all that. It'd be interesting to hear. Because, and people would complain, because it was 13 shillings per pound, 6 shillings per farthing or what, I don't know. And then they complained because 100 pence equals a pound was too confusing. I am happy, though. We don't have to worry. We've always had a decimalized currency here, so we don't have to worry about things like shillings. I won't say always, but since we've been a country, at least. Anyhow, we're going to go on and move on, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Berlin. And this is a piece that I've kind of been working on for a while now. And, okay. And Chris is asking me a technical question. Is it 64K stereo that I'm on? I've noticed a problem which seems to affect the very beginning of Show and Terrors, which didn't happen with Terrors last time we designed. Yeah. I don't want to change my settings in midstream. I don't know if that's something that... don't know if I can actually change my settings in midstream. Can I? I don't know. I'm kind of reluctant to try it. I didn't change the settings in any way, Chris, from my previous show, if that makes any sense. I didn't actually change anything. Hello to Sean Riches, who had just logged in. I don't know if he's listening to the show. Bob, I don't know what I was saying in talking about the pound here. No, I think we may get a better exchange rate in some places. Plus, I'm way too old to learn a new currency. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the euro is basically the same. I mean, it wouldn't be learning a new currency, would it? I mean, you have 100 euro cents in a euro, and you have 100 pence in a pound. So I don't see why that would be so confusing. Chris is saying, yeah. Chris, I am actually broadcasting at the same settings that I was broadcasting at. It is not in stereo, if that's your question. So I will have to try to remember to do that. It was what the settings I was told to broadcast at the previous show. So it was the 64 kbs, 24 kilohertz, if that makes any sense. I know that's kind of technical, but anyway, sorry about that. And I think that the storm here is subsiding a little bit. Anyway, talking a little bit about Berlin. Now, I went to Berlin in 1996. This was before the euro had hit everywhere. And I think this was the last time I actually had to deal with Deutschmarks. It was back in 96. And I went to Berlin. Now, Berlin is an interesting place. And, you know, there's a lot about the city that's not very exciting. Because it's one of those places that during World War II was just bombed absolutely flat. There's very little that exists today in Berlin that existed back in the 19th century. There's a few old buildings that didn't get bombed. They were, you know, things like cathedrals that the Allies would try not to bomb all of these historical sites, though that often happened, and you know they got bombed anyway. But Berlin is an interesting place, and especially right at the time when I was there, which was only, you know, shortly after the reunification of Germany. So you still had a very real sense of Berlin being a split city. And you could tell very clearly where the line used to be. Now, most of the Berlin Wall had been torn down at that point. There were still a few sections in some neighborhoods where the wall still existed. But you could tell the difference because the buildings on one side were, you know, well kept up. They looked relatively new. And on the other side, they were all these run-down buildings that had been there since World War II. You could see, you know, the bullet holes in the side of the building left over from the war. And the East German government had purposely left these buildings in that state of misrepair. They wouldn't let them patch over the bullet holes and things in the walls because they wanted to remind people of what they had been through. Very, very interesting. Now, at the time I was there, 1996, we were starting to see the rebuilding of Berlin. So on the west side of Berlin, you had, you know, relatively modern city, pretty normal-looking European city. It looked like Stockholm or anywhere else, really. And on the other side, it was a forest of construction cranes. And when I say a forest of construction cranes, I'm serious. Every block had at least one. And some blocks had many more than that. Because they were constantly, at that point, tearing down these old buildings and refurbishing these old buildings. At that point, the Reichstag building, which is in the eastern part of Berlin, was still a ruin. They had not yet finished refurbishing it for the Reichstag to meet it again. And it was just a really, really interesting time to be there and see that really weird transition between the Cold War era Berlin and what came, you know, what it is today. Now, I bet if I went back there today, I wouldn't recognize the place. Because I don't think there is such a disparity now, but the eastern side of Berlin was starting to sprout all these cafes and art galleries, you know, because rents were cheap over there. The buildings were run down so they could get cheaper rent. And I thought that was really, really interesting. Now, of course, one of the main reasons why a lot of people in Europe go to Berlin is that it is a major gay center of Europe. I don't know if it still is. I guess it would probably still be. I don't know, because, you know, when I travel now, I don't tend to go to the sort of gay parts of town anymore. I don't really have any reason to do that. For one thing, I'm a little bit old for the scene, but also because I don't have any interest in it, because, you know, I'm together with Pete. I, you know, don't have any need to go to the gay bars and so forth anymore, other than, you know, maybe to see a friend or, you know, do his karaoke night or something. Bob Adeno says... Oh, I'm so polite. I didn't class me, meaning Bob, with the old fogies like Chris and Paul. That's because you're just a wee slip of a lass, Bob. That's why I didn't. You know, we don't do that on this show. Now, you know, Chris and Paul are you know, so much older than we are. Yeah, you know, many, many years older. I think Chris is at least 20 years older than me. So anyway, moving on. But we're talking about Berlin now. It's interesting because the very, very vibrant sort of nightlife and things in Berlin now. For me, really, the focus of the I have a message coming here. I have a message coming in from Sean Riches. Sean saying, "Tom, my hard drive went bang. And I won't be on today." Okay. Just so everybody knows, Sean Riches, who normally follows me at 5, will not be on. Sorry to hear that, Sean. I was actually going to listen to your show if I could. And he says to please inform the listeners and viewers that he will be back next week with a brand new style of show and a brand new competition as promised, including, is that the, are you going to have a cash prize? I heard something about a cash prize. And he says he's sorry for any inconvenience. Okay, sorry about that, Sean. If your hard drive went bang, though, how are you Skyping? This is sounding a little fishy, isn't it? Anyway, getting back to Berlin here for a second. Oh, we only have 10 minutes left. How time is flying here. I was talking about, to me, the highlight of Berlin, and this is going to sound maybe crazy, but for me, the highlight of Berlin was the Berlin Zoo. And Berlin is well known for having a good zoo. It's, of course, one of the oldest zoos in Europe. And it was escaped the war and so forth, generally undamaged. I think they probably did get bombed, but you can still see a few structures in there that date back to the 19th century. So it didn't get as bombed as other parts of Berlin did. But I was pretty impressed by it, even though it's an older zoo, and they've done, of course, a lot of renovation, and have brought the zoo up to a modern standard of zoo, as opposed to, you know, how horrible it was back in the old days when you had animals in small, dirty cages. And, you know, and of course, they're a modern zoo now. They still have some of the old vintage cages that they used for, I guess, for some animals that it's okay to keep them in that kind of an environment. But I thought that was a very impressive zoo, and I spent a whole day there. I spent, you know, 3 days in Berlin, and at that point I was going out every night. I was going to some of the clubs and things. When I travel, I tend to do that more than I do at home. I don't go out to clubs and things at home. There's no reason for me to do that, and I'm really kind of over the bar scene. I was into that back when I was in my 20s, but of course I'm not really into that now. But when I travel, I do tend to do that a little bit more. And certainly at that point, you know, when in 1996 and I was single and I was going out and, you know, wasn't trying to pick up anybody, but it was certainly an exploration because Berlin had such a reputation as a party town, kind of in the way that Hamburg did back in the 60s, maybe sort of in the way that Amsterdam does today. Certainly it had that sort of, in the entertainment districts of Berlin. I think there was a particular area where all the gay clubs were that I spent an evening or two in. It all kind of feels the same anymore, doesn't it? There wasn't anything uniquely Berlin about it. It's just that it's just well known for having that section of town. I suppose it's much the same as in any other place. Anyhow, I'm a little disappointed that nobody has called in. That's how it goes. Sometimes you don't have people calling in. Anyway, going back to, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the, because I always forget to do this. Whenever I do a Judge for Yourself, I'll play the first part. I'll talk about it for a second. I'll go away. I'll talk about something else. And then I'll forget to play the second part so that everybody knows how the case turned out. Any last thoughts on that would be appreciated. Did the jury find for or against the hospital? Is the big question out there. I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of trails for presenters on the program, and then I'll be right back, and I'll give you the answer of Judge for Yourself. Just a moment.
The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio.
Tell me about the best moments, Lee, in your life.
Well, of course, it's being a part of United Kingdom Radio, isn't it?
Have you passed any recent exams?
Oh, yeah. I now know how to test equipment.
Isn't that one of them one-day courses you go on, though?
Yeah, well, it was an exam. I passed it. I thought it was just, you go up to the object, you pat it, and that's it.
Yep, that works. Patting the top of the kettle or patting the microwave and go, yep, that works. That's fine. I was watching The Real Hustle, and there was one scam that they had to do, and it was to replace the chassis number inside the car.
Oh, yeah, with a sticker.
Yes, did you see that one? Did you see what happened?
Yeah. That was very good.
Scandalous, wasn't it? But it can happen, though.
They conned both ends, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They conned the woman who was selling it and the buyers.
Yeah.
What do you look for in a relationship, Lee? What sort of brought you to her?
Well, her feet, really.
I thought you were going to say something sarcastic like that. I knew it. I absolutely knew it. I'm going to ask you the best moments in your life, but I already know one of them, and that would have to be your daughter, Jade.
The day we got our daughter.
Yeah, that must have been a fantastic day for you.
For those who don't know, my daughter is adopted from China.
How did you research adopting a Chinese baby? Was there much research into it all?
You know, it was a new thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly new. When we were in China, we went there in 95. For vacation, because we went to Japan to visit my family, and then decided, well, we're so close, why don't we go to China? So we did that.
Mm-hmm.
We were in China, and the children are just so beautiful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one child policy, so you don't see too many girls.
Mm-hmm.
They want the boys because they have no social security system. This is all changing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is back in 1995. And Jade knows this. We visited the site where she was left at 3 days old. She was left outside a government office. And everything we did had to be notarized,
mm-hmm,
and then authenticated on the state level, on the county level, and then on the state level, too.
The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio.
Hi, it's Zuko. I'm wiping the slate clean. From here on in, it's a new, edgier Zuko. More politics, more opinions, more debates. Wait, did I say that? Well, maybe just a soupçon of edge. Soupçon, you say? Look it up. What am I, your doormat? And no more kissing up to me for parcels from New York. I don't buy it. Wait, did you say I sound sexy? Well, perhaps something small. Listen Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time.
And that was the lovely and sexy voiced Zuko, who will be on tomorrow at 5 p.m. UK time, which is 11 a.m. here in Chicago, where the rain seems to have stopped, folks. We did have a little bit of the lightning and thunder coming down for a while, but that does seem to have stopped at the moment. And hopefully I'll be able to get outside a little bit later today, go out and do some adventuring with my boyfriend, and otherwise have a kind of a relaxing rest of the weekend. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the part two of Judge for Yourself. And then I'll be right back.
The court ruled against the hospital and awarded the families damages for deprivation of the right to the bodies and their mental suffering. The court held that the surviving kin have the right to immediate possession of the body for burial preparation, which the hospital interfered with. The primary concern was the feeling of the kin and not the actual mix-up.
All right, so that was Judge for Yourself for this week. And next week, hopefully, I'll have another one of these for you. And if anybody would want to participate in the game, of course, they should feel free to do so. So any other last thoughts here about political correctness? I would like to hear from you. There's still time to call in, even though we only have a few minutes left. The Skype address, of course, is United Kingdom Radio. And the phone number is 020-3287-1488. And this is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Now, interestingly enough, now just kind of getting back on the subject right here towards the end. Doesn't it seem very odd when people complain about political correctness? Because, as I said earlier in the show, it's being used almost as an insult now. Oh, well, that person's just being politically correct. And I have to say, my own opinion on this here is that there's a difference between being politically correct and being politically obnoxious. And there's a difference between being politically incorrect and just insensitive. And I think that, as with a lot of other issues, it's a matter of being aware of why you want to do something. You know, so obviously there's going to be a small section of people out there who are against the idea of using language respectfully towards minorities or whatever, because they simply hate minorities. They want to be free to call people whatever bad name you want to call them. We don't generally do that on this show. Back when I was a kid, though, the big thing was Polak jokes. You don't hear Polak jokes much anymore. And I think that there's a number of reasons for that. Yeah, Polak being is kind of a negative term for a Polish person. We had this sort of cultural thing here back in the 60s where, you know, people kind of thought of Polish people as kind of stupid. And that was why, you know, and I don't see the demise of the Polak joke as a bad thing. We thought they were funny when we were kids. But isn't that just simply a matter of how times have changed and how it's become less socially acceptable to have a stereotyped worldview? And there's a lot of these people out there who seem to oppose political correctness on the grounds that they want to have a stereotyped worldview. They're defending that. I'm not saying that they're all like that. I'm not saying that anybody who says that they're not politically correct is like that. But when you hear people talking about the issue, I think that's something that we should be paying attention to. Maybe question a little bit of what their motives are. What kind of a person is this? And I think you can sometimes get a sense from the context of how they use it. Anyhow, that's my thought on the topic. And of course, if anybody wants to email the show and talk about this further, they're certainly welcome to. I do have a couple of emails here. Oh, I'm running over time. So actually, I don't need to worry because Sean is not going to be on. Have a couple of emails here from Ian Duff. I'm not going to read them. Thank you very much, Ian, for writing into the show. And it is time for me to go. Bob, I don't know, is saying, I would have taken part, Tom, but this Cullen guy rang me just as you were doing Judge for Yourself. All right, I'll take that excuse this time. Stay tuned for next week. I'll be back next weekend with another edition of Tom Harris Live. This is Tom in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Signing off. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody.